It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. You're each treasured, valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you were made for this time, and so it is important that we step into this. We see a real assault on freedom going on in our country at the local, county, state, and federal level. And people are waking up, realizing that we are in great risk here of losing these things that we so value. And so many great people are stepping forward to run for office. We're going to be talking with Steve Rosenblum, who is running for Boulder City Council in the second segment. And in studio with me is George Allen. He is the founder for, Citizens for Tax Fairness, right?
Citizens for Tax Fairness.
Yes. Thanks for being here. You've done a lot of great work over the years, George Allen, and people don't even realize how much money you have actually saved them.
I think I'm up in north of $300 million now in money I've kept in the citizens' pockets going to government in both
taxes,
property taxes, and especially E-470 tolls. My big project the last several years has been the E-470 toll road oversight project, and that's where I've accomplished the most. I've asked them to freeze tolls in 2017, which they did, and annually they've kept the frozen tolls in place. And I've been informed recently that when traffic returns to normal volumes after the pandemic and lockdowns are over and airlines return to normal passenger volumes, then E-470 is going to start reducing tolls, which is long, long overdue and will be a big accomplishment for me.
$300 million, and they always couch it as for each household, oh, it's only this much or it's only this much. But that is $300 million that individuals would actually have in their pockets to save, to spend on their children, to go on vacation, go to dinner, invest, all those different kinds of things, George.
Absolutely. And the government entities have these projections of how much money they're going to raise in taxes or tolls over a certain period of years. And then when I get involved, I start ratcheting that down to show them they don't need that much money and they shouldn't have that much money. And once they understand that, they start to lower their expectations and lower their projections. And that's exactly what happened at E-470.
Well, in segments 3 and 4, we're going to talk about a sales tax increase that is on the ballot in Lone Tree, Colorado. It is a 55% increase in the sales tax rate from 1.8% to 2.8%. That's 55%. That's pretty significant, particularly when people are coming off of these government caused shutdowns and all of this on businesses. People are need every cent they can get. And so we'll be talking a lot about that in the 3rd and 4th segment.
Okay, right. I'm leading and managing and financing and developing the content for that campaign and devoting a lot of energy and time to it. And I'm optimistic that we're going to succeed. And when the time is right, Kim, if you could allow me to just talk about how I got involved in government oversight, I'd like to say a few words about that.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You're doing, I think, on the state level and local level what Grover Norquist is doing on the national level.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment. You flatter me.
So we'll talk about that in the
Grover Norquist of
Colorado.
Douglas County.
There you have of Douglas County. You got
I
it.
I proudly wear that badge.
And the thing to remember, my friends, is when government is big, the individual is small. When the individual is big, government is small. And I think that all of us really like to have our lives be as big as they possibly can be, George.
So I like to go back to the principles of University of Chicago economics professor Milton Friedman. And Professor Friedman wanted to have the private sector have the most opportunity for economic growth, and the best way to do that was to contain the public sector to a certain percentage of the economy and not let its share, the government share of the economy, expand, their share of the economic pie to expand, but needed to be contained. And the number one way to do that, according to Professor Friedman, was to control taxes and limit taxes and keep taxes to a certain ratio of the economy.
Well, and that's why it is important to keep taxes low. And the way to actually increase tax revenue, George Allen, is to increase the pie, increase the economy, more people producing, more people thriving, more people flourishing. And when that happens, they're doing more for the economy, and tax revenues go up as that pie grows.
Their wedge of the pie can be fixed at a certain percentage, but it will grow as the overall economy grows. What I try to do is contain them to their wedge of the pie.
And that's it's a noble cause, and they don't like to stay in that pie right now. And the problem is when government gets bigger, many times the pie gets smaller. Or it can't contract.
Yeah, there's no question about that. The growth and innovation is driven by the private sector. There are some famous innovations that came from government and NASA, but the vast majority of innovation and wealth creation is in the private sector.
So we're going to talk about that in the third and fourth segment.
Okay.
Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who are supporting us. And our voter's guide is there. And I would really encourage you to take a look at this. This is, I think, the most thorough voter's guide that there is in the state. It's not just, oh, we say vote this way or vote that way. We've actually done in-depth analysis. We link to all of the documents, the background documents, just on this leap, this Patty's got it right here for me. I should have it memorized, but it is a learning enrichment and academic progress program. This is, quote unquote, the new marijuana tax, the state marijuana tax for the children. Man, as we've looked into it, it's the new marijuana tax for the cronies here in Colorado. And we have all of the documents. There's a 14-page document that is the actual proposal or proposition on that. And you just vote it down just because of that. 14 pages, Producer Steve.
Yeah, but this is the way government works. And I don't know, just listening to you two guys in the last 5 minutes or so, how many Reagan quotes came to mind with what you two were saying?
Well, I have a Reagan quote at the end of the show.
All right.
And so we'll get to that. But I didn't use Reagan for the beginning of the show here. And I didn't get to say thank you to that great team I get to work with. That's Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. They're all the ones that make this thing happen. Producer Steve, no, I appreciate you all.
Well, thank you. And a real tip of the hat to Keith, because he found some things yesterday in our audio from the weekend that I owe him a big whatever prize he wants to claim. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that offline.
Yes, we will. The team is always working, though. That's the point.
Well, for sure. Let's go to our quote for today. And sometimes I go to the bad guys to find out what the plan is. And when I came across this quote,
rightfully so, by the way.
Yes, from Vladimir Lenin. And I see what's going on here. I see all these tax questions that are on the ballot across the spectrum here. After really government-induced decisions closed down our economy, this is what Vladimir Lenin said, you know, the dictator of Russia. He said, the way to crush the bourgeoisie, or the middle class, is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. George, what do you think of that?
Well, we've seen that in the United States with excessive taxation, and inflation has been under control for decades now, but I think the policy has shifted recently with the Federal Reserve has said that they've changed policy. They're gonna wait to raise interest rates until they observe inflation rather than see inflation expectations. And that's a big change, and I think we could be looking at 4 to 6% inflation in the future years.
And it's difficult for wages to keep up with that. And so then when you have all these different cities, municipalities wanting to raise taxes on the just the basic items that people buy, people are getting a double whammy. That's why we have to say no on these tax increases.
A double whammy, yes, but that's an understatement. A statistic that you won't hear very often is that funding government is the number one expense in the budget of households in Douglas County. Paying all the taxes and fees takes the largest share of household income. Federal income taxes, state income taxes, state sales taxes, local sales taxes, and property taxes, and then all the excise taxes on things like gasoline and tires. You add it all up, and it's 30% or 40% of household income to pay for government. Government is big, big business in Douglas County and Colorado and the United States, and it's a big burden on families. And that's why I'm so adamant about controlling taxation, because it is such a huge expense for our citizens.
Steve, I can see you'd really like to weigh in on this.
Well, only because I did my vehicle registration, and with the registration comes a breakdown. And there's a new thing, a new item on mine, because my vehicle is a 1996. I now have the privilege of paying an age of vehicle add-on in Douglas County.
Is that a tax or a fee?
Did they say? Oh, it's under fees, and it's $7, but why?
Yeah, that adds up.
Yeah. Let's go back to the attitude from the people at the top. It came out a couple of weeks ago, and I've luckily remembered her name. Barbara Mikulski was a senator. She now retired from the state of Maryland. In some discussion, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, this is not a direct quote, but they were talking about their revenues. And she said, well, we know where to get more. So that attitude is out there.
Yeah, well, we'll just wring it out of the people a little bit more. There were two headlines on here I wanted to connect a dot on. And first one was Fox News reported, and Jen Psaki brushed this video off of Biden apparently walking through a restaurant in Washington, D.C. So Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, were walking through the restaurant. Somebody actually took a video, and they did not have their mask on.
Yeah, technically, it was Georgetown, but the mayor of D.C. Brought out another mask mandate. So here's Joe, Uncle Joe and Jill, Aunt Jill, I guess, walking around D.C. without a mask.
Okay, so we have the mask mandate over here. But my friends, if they really believed that this was as deadly as they say it is, we know COVID is a thing, but if it was as deadly as they said it is, there is no way that they would be walking around in a restaurant without a mask. And also, if the mask was actually really efficient, if it really worked, they would make sure that they had their mask on. So we've got that over there. So there's this narrative that we question because they don't seem to be acting like they believe it. But then this is just terrifying. And this is from The Federalist by Spencer Lindquist. He says that the universities are now deputizing students as mask police to snitch on their peers for money. And apparently UCLA, University of Rochester, University of California at Davis, NYU, Penn State, and Washington University in St. Louis are some of the places where the student workers can wear yellow shirts bearing the phrase, if you can read this, you're too close. An elite division has been dispatched to be cubby monitors to monitor private study rooms. Did you ever believe that we would be in this type of situation in the United States of America? This is very concerning to me. And so here they're deputizing students to snitch on students about mask wearing. And then you've got the president of the United States walking through a restaurant without a mask. My friends, this doesn't match up. We need to make sure that we continue to shed light on this. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is George Allen. He is the founder of Citizens for Tax Fairness. When we come back, we'll talk with Steve Rosenblum. He's running for Boulder City Council. But before we do that, one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And inflation has not hit their lunch specials yet. They have $8 items Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. They have $9 items or $10 items. The lunch fish and chips I do particularly love. So be sure and check out my website. I recommend all those sponsors there. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Steve Rosenblum.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. On the website now is our voter's guide. Highly recommend that you check that out. It's very thorough. Also, I'm seeing all kinds of voter's guides coming out right now. And a quick rule of thumb is if you have a voter's guide and they're neutral on an issue, that means that there's politics involved and they're just not willing to take a stand either way. And we have to take a stand on these things. And we have done that on each one of these issues, given you our reasoning on the thoughts for that, and then highly recommend that you, hopefully it's a good tool and you can pass that on to others as well. Also, a couple of op-eds. Brad Beck has one on Help Wanted that was in the newsletter this weekend. And then Patty Kergan, the last of her four op-eds regarding LEAP, which is the Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And she draws a lot of the dots, or connects a bunch of the dots again, on that this is really a program for cronies on how to pad their pockets basically into eternity, to infinity and beyond, if you will, because it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable authority board that makes all the decisions. This governor chooses these, appoints the people on the board. They choose their replacements. They have taxing power. The authority board can accept gifts from government entities and non-government entities. My friends, what could go wrong with that? And so we are I really recommending a no on that is Prop 119 LEAP. But let's get over here to Steve Rosenblum. I was at a meeting up in Boulder County. And he presented, and he is running for Boulder City Council. And the question has to be why. Steve Rosenblum, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
So tell us, why have you decided to run for Boulder City Council?
Oh, well, so we've got some important issues to deal with. We've had some declines and troubles in public safety in Boulder. Got big infrastructure backlog. I've watched City Council. Seems like the answer to a lot of problems has always been more programs, more money, more spending. And some folks don't realize that we're not the federal government. We can't just borrow and we need to be careful stewards of the budget and tax dollars. And that's my focus, is in housing and budgeting and finance. So I thought I could make a meaningful contribution there. Well, I watch politics in this town kind of mirror our national discussion and just get corrupted and poisoned, and people attacking and trying to silence and shame each other. And I think that local politics, no matter what you do, no matter who you support and what issues on a national level, should be better than that. We should listen to each other and talk to each other and solve our local problems with respect. So hope to improve the conversation and just focus on what really matters to Boulder.
Well, and Steve, one of the first things for people to be able to thrive and flourish is safe communities. And you had mentioned when I was at that meeting that there's all kinds of used drug needles in public spaces in Boulder.
Yeah, so we're suffering from the same as many communities are, which is an epidemic of methamphetamine use. And increasingly, folks who are suffering from mental illness, and especially methamphetamine use, have been coming to Boulder and camping out in our public spaces, which taxpayers paid for and should be able to enjoy safely. Our creeks, our bike paths, and increasingly right next to our schools. So we've got a lot of Boulder's a very compassionate, generous community. We've got lots of programs to lift people up, and we have what's called a housing first policy, which is recognition that if you're destitute, it's really hard to get your life back on track without a roof over your head. So we do everything we can to get people into housing. But it's really difficult if you use methamphetamine. Use methamphetamine in an apartment, it destroys it, requiring extensive remediation. So we need to get folks the help they need to take a step up, but it's we also need to pair that with enforcement of our laws, because the conditions now have been unsafe for folks. There's needles, waste, people defecating near waterways, found E. coli in our creeks, and I think the community recognizes this is unacceptable, and it's not good for people who are suffering, and not good for the community, because these spaces, our neighborhoods, our parks should be, like I said, safe and welcoming for families, for children, and increasingly that's not the case anymore. So that was a big part of what catalyzed me to move. I was part of this group, Safer Boulder, who was advocating for better public safety, speaking to city council, speaking to all the stakeholders in town, and everyone sort of agreed at the scope of the problem and what's driving it, but there was a reticence to kind of speak up and speak the truth. There's some extremist folks in town who believe that we should overturn the camping ban and defund the police, and those are just sort of, in my view, not solutions and nonsense slogans. So I'm just we can be a compassionate town, but let's focus on actual truth, which is what I'm trying to bring to the situation.
Well, Steve, Boulder has a reputation of being quote unquote a liberal town, but liberal is really different from the radical activists that have now become very active in the Democrat Party. This Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK, but Boulder has a reputation of many, kind of a Democrat stronghold. As you're out there talking with people, are you seeing kind of that difference? And I've got to think, like, they used to be called Blue Dog Democrats, unaffiliated, and Republicans, libertarians. It seems that all that big group wants a safe community, a place where people can thrive and prosper. So are you seeing that happen there as you're out on the campaign trail?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Boulder does have strong democratic values. Like I said, we're a very compassionate community. We invest in our social safety net. But there's certain things that I think everyone can agree on. They want their kids to be safe. They want their public spaces to remain public for everyone. They want their roads paved. They want their tax dollars widely spent and invested. And they want, they want their police and fire to be well-funded. They want their, fire stations to be not in single-family homes, which is what they are in Boulder. All those things, I think, are universal local values that people don't politicize and don't engage on in the kind of nationalization of these issues. But unfortunately, everything's become, because we've all been kind of locked away for 2 years and engaging in social media rather than engaging with each other in conversations, even those things have become elevated, to this sort of hyper-partisan, conflict-oriented discussion, which is wrong. And I think the community, at least from my interactions with people, going door knocking and outreach, people are sick of it, and they just want to, restore local government to local issues.
It's so interesting you would say that, Steve. There's a new show on KLZ 560. A couple of friends of mine, I'm a Uniter, and the founder, Reggie Card, been in the black entertainment business, well, still is, for many years. And they have decided, his co-host is a Democrat. He's really kind of a new Republican. He hadn't really been involved in politics until just recently. And I love the fact that they are coming together to unite us, because as Clancy Jones, the co-host said, there's so much more that unites us than divides us, Steve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I believe that doesn't feel that way as a country. It feels like we're coming apart at the seams. But you got to start somewhere. And I believe that somewhere is conversation. I mean, we are, just if you look at our sociological data, increasingly polarized as a country. You know, having different political views now determines your friendships. And, you know, that was never the way I was raised. And I think it's increasingly driving some of the rifts in our country. And even in a place like Boulder, as you mentioned, we're all a bunch of Democrats for the most part. Conversation's broken here, so you know we gotta start somewhere. Restoring that, you know, collegiality and that spirit of working together through conversation, because if in the absence of conversation, all you have is conflict. So that's what I hope to achieve, both locally and hopefully do my part to begin to repair some of these rifts.
So, Steve, how can people get more information about you?
Yeah, so just go to my website at steveforboulder.com, or reach out to me. You know, send me an email. That's one thing I've tried to do is just, and as you saw in the meeting I attended, speak to everyone. Just let them know what I'm about. But I'm willing to listen to everyone with respect and engage in civil discourse, which is what we need to heal things.
Okay.
So steveforboulder.com, and yeah, email me, give me a call. Happy to speak to you directly or speak to a neighborhood group. That's what local politics is all about.
Well, Steve Rosenblum, thank you so much for joining us. And again, that is steveforboulder.com, steveforboulder.com. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Okay. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another one of my great sponsors, new sponsors of the show, is Kirsch Insurance Group. And they are specialists in the Medicare arena. And we're now in this open enrollment time where you can make decisions about your Medicare coverage for next year, and it runs from October 15th through December 7th. And Kirsch Insurance Group works with most all of the carriers here in Colorado, and so they're not just tied to one carrier, and they can help you take a look at, for example, your prescriptions, how those are going to be covered next year, and make any adjustments that you might need to do. There's no cost to do that. So be sure and check out iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H.com. And Marlon and Danielle and Naomi and the whole team over there can help you out. And again, that's iKirsch.com. We'll be right back with George Allen.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Check out our voter's guide. We have done a very thorough analysis of each and every one of these statewide questions, as well as we have taken on this lone tree, this 55% increase in Lone Tree that they're proposing in the city sales tax rate. And we hope that that can be a template as you are looking at these other tax questions on your own ballot. In studio with me is George Allen, and he is the founder of Citizens for Tax Fairness. And George, people don't even know when people are fighting tax increases how much it actually saves everyday hardworking people. You said it's probably been at least in the range of $300 million, and that's a really good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, I've stopped multiple tax increases, sales tax increase in the town of Parker. I've sponsored some property tax reductions that the commissioners approved in Douglas County, and E-470 toll increases over the last 4 years, and it adds up. I'm north of $300 million for sure.
That's fantastic. That is really important. And as our quote said, we had earlier in the show from Vladimir Lenin, that the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And we see that big time right now here in America. So, okay, let's talk about Lone Tree. This is a 55% increase in the local retail sales tax rate. Is from 1.8% to 2.8%. Now, remember, when you're going to buy your items, either online or at the store, you have your city sales tax, then you have county, you've got state, and sometimes there's other little fees on there. So it can, once you start to get, I think some of the municipalities are getting up to 7 or 8%. That's a big portion of your purchase right there.
One of the politicians' sales pitches on this tax increase in Lone Tree is it's only 1%. And they all say that when they're introducing a tax increase. However, the taxpayers have to pay all these 1%. And when you add it all up, it gets to be like 30, and it can be up to 40% of household income. That's why I say funding government, paying for government, is the biggest share of household budgets in Douglas County. And can I say a little bit about my background and how I got involved?
Absolutely.
in government oversight? So I'm just an average citizen, and you've got to wonder, how is it possible for one man to undertake these projects and save so much money for the community? And I would, just as an average citizen, go to political meetings and go to government meetings and go to public meetings, and I would listen to the elected officials talk, and I would be saying to myself, that makes no sense, what this person just said. That doesn't compute. This person doesn't know what they're talking about. And I dreaded the moment when I said, I'm going to have to go get their financial documents, get their budgets, and open them up and look at them. And I just dreaded what I was going to see. And so I resisted it for a long time.
And you're an accountant. So you can really read these things.
I can understand their documents, yes. And finally, I remember the moment where I said, that's it. I'm fed up. I've had enough. I'm going to go research this myself and analyze what is going on with this entity. And it was Dave Weaver who was the speaker, the sheriff of Douglas County, and then the commissioner. And I said, you know, God bless Dave. I love him. He's a great guy. We have a great relationship. But I said, he doesn't know what he's talking about and what he's saying when he's speaking to the community. So I went and looked at the county documents. I met with the accountants and the elected officials, and they were very, very unhappy that someone like me was digging into the details. But what I found was these governments are rich. Douglas County has $300 million on their balance sheet. And I said, this is too much money. You guys are overtaxing us. You need to ratchet down your mill levy. And they argued with me and said they needed all that money. So that was probably 2014. And now here we are in 2021. Guess what? They still have that $300 million on their balance sheet. It's been sitting there earning 0.1%. You know, all of these years. So these government entities and their financial reports are very complex financially. And the average citizen is not going to be able to read it and digest it and understand it. There's too much detail. There's too much complexity. Too many numbers. And what I try to do is untangle it and simplify it and present it to people. And then the elected officials go to their accountants and say, here's this letter or memo or slide deck George Allen prepared, and he's presenting this out in the community. What about this, you know, to their financial advisors? And the financial advisors say, well, George Allen is right about this. What he says here is correct. And that just totally changes the conversation and gets them, you know, more open. And that's what happened at E-470. I think E-470 finally admitted to their directors and their chairman that what I was saying about lowering tolls was correct. And so our system is set up for government to over-collect and retain more money than they need. It's just the nature of our system. And so whenever I hear of a Douglas County entity that wants to increase taxes, right away I jump on it and look into the details and find out why they're saying this. In Lone Tree, now let's talk about Lone Tree.
Okay.
In Lone Tree, there's no historical financial crisis. This is all based on future projections about what they think might happen, and they're based on assumptions which are unrealistic and completely unfair to the community. They have a monthly treasurer's report that's an internal document that I requested through an open records request. I requested 7 years of this monthly report, and I read them all. Nowhere in these 7 years of reports do they mention a financial crisis or a budget strain or lost sales tax revenue due to online sales instead of brick and mortar retail sales. And so this led me to believe that this is a hoax.
So with that, though, that is what the mayor and city council are out there in the community saying, that there's been revenues lost because of online sales. And, you know, so what you're addressing is all the things that they have been out there talking about in the community.
What the politicians are saying out there in the community as they try to sell this tax increase is political rhetoric and political opinion. The numbers do not support those opinions. The numbers support that the city is doing fine and will continue to do fine in the future. The 1.8% sales tax will be enough to fund their operations going forward. They need to be prudent and fiscally responsible and not go off on wild spending sprees and branching out.
Like the $7 million bridge, pedestrian bridge.
Like the $7 million pedestrian bridge over Lincoln near the Charles Schwab office. And also they've shown interest in purchasing the Wildlife Experience Museum on Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. And
you found the white paper on that, and that's on this website that you've put together, correct?
It's on our website, nolonetreetaxincrease.com, which opposes the tax increase. And I asked for this presentation that they had internally, the strategic vision for the future of Lone Tree with the Wildlife Experience. And I think their interest and vision for purchase the Wildlife Experience, which came about back in maybe January or February of this year, 2021, is one of the root causes, one of the root drivers of this tax increase and why they want this additional money. They're trying to sell it politically based on other reasons that are more acceptable to voters, but I think this is one of the underlying things they have in the back of their mind.
So they're threatening people with that we might lose some of our police officers and trash service might go away, which is something that the city had paid for. And in fact, there was a flyer that was distributed in the community a week or so ago that said, save our police so they can save us.
I don't believe it. The Lone Tree government revenues are roughly $38 or $39 million per year gross revenues, and the expense that they pay for the trash service is $400,000. The snowplow service is $1.5 million. So these are just essential services that I think the politicians are trying to scare the voters with so that they support the tax increase. And there's a long history of this in political rhetoric of governments trying to get more money from the citizens. They always say that what's at risk are vital services like clean water or the fire department or police services, because that'll scare voters. And it's not true. Those are things that would be the very last to be cut. Nowhere in this program for this tax increase do they have an austerity plan for expense control and expense reduction. This is all about more money and growth for this very small municipality of Lone Tree.
One thing that I had missed on this presentation, so they did a very slick video presentation on why they were advocating for this tax increase, and they included a graph in there that shows that revenue growth would be basically static over the next 14 years, and then, of course, expenses expanding significantly. But that just doesn't make sense, does it, George?
The bar chart you're referring to is a projection of total revenue and expense for the city for 14 years from 2022 to 2035. I consider it based on false assumption that there's going to be zero revenue growth in Lone Tree for the next 15 years is completely an unrealistic assumption. But when you use that assumption to create this bar chart that starts to look, you know, professional and legitimate just based on its visual appearance, it gives the impression that there's this future projected $100 million deficit between revenues and expenses. I think it's all fake. It's all fictitious. It's based on a false assumption, and I don't agree with it at all. And the reason is because Lone Tree is has excellent economic base. It has upscale retail. It has car dealerships. It has nice restaurants and eating establishments. It's a very nice community, and it's surrounded by communities of affluent consumers. Douglas County is in the top 10 most affluent communities in the United States. Believe it or not, Douglas County is way up there, and we have a lot of professional and technical employees, a lot of high net worth people who live in Greenwood Village and Englewood and Centennial and Parker and Highlands Ranch, all satellites right around Lone Tree. And so there's no way that Lone Tree is not going to grow. That's a completely unrealistic assumption.
Well, and also the fact that the big Ridgegate development is coming online as well. It just is unrealistic to think that you're going to bring all these people in this development there and, again, have basically 0% revenue growth on that. So I'm good for you for delving into these numbers. And we're going to go to break. In studio with me is George Allen, and he is the founder of Citizens for Tax Fairness, and he is working diligently, as well as I am, on trying to defeat this because, as Vladimir Lenin said, the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And one entity says a penny here, another entity says a penny there. Pretty soon they have all the pennies and you don't have any. And that is why it's important that we keep government within its boundaries. And government revenue can grow as the economy grows because the pie gets bigger. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal and Linnea Van Herke are entrepreneurs. And Castlegate Knife and Tool has blades from the or knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And they're getting a lot of inventory in now for Christmas time. I can't believe Christmas is just around the corner. And it's good to get your Christmas shopping done early. So whether or not your person you're buying gift for is a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you to do your shopping. We'll be right back. And again, that's Castlegate.com, Castlegate.com. Check that out. We'll be right back with George Allen.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Okay, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We greatly appreciate you. We are an independent voice searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Check out our voter's guide. It is very thorough. We hope it's a good tool as you are filling out your ballots. And we included something this time around, and that is a list of recommended school board candidates as well. We realize these school board races are among the most important in our country, and so we thought we'd help you out on that as well. George Allen is in studio with me. He is the founder of Citizens for Tax Fairness. We're talking about this massive 55% increase in the retail sales tax rate in Lone Tree. That's from 1.8% to 2.8%. That's 55%, my friends. And George, you're an accountant, and you delved into the numbers. So let's talk numbers.
Okay, so the increase in the rate is a 55% increase in the rate. An increase from 1.8% to 2.8% is a 55% increase in the rate. But let's talk about the dollars. The increase in the dollars is also a 55% increase. It's $15 million. The total sales tax collections historically have been in the $25 million to $26 million per year range at the City of Lone Tree. Sales taxes, sales and use taxes. And this 55% increase is going to translate into $15 million more in additional sales tax revenue flowing into the city. So it's a 55% increase in the dollars and the rate.
Okay.
This tax increase has a 10-year time frame. So the city's projecting that they'll collect $15 million in year one, that there's going to be no growth in revenue over the next 15 years. So for the 10-year time frame, that's 10 years at $15 million. That's $150 million. So what they're asking for is $150 million from the community in additional money to pay into the city. Okay, is that clear?
It is.
Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I think that the revenue is going to grow. The
right.
City's going to grow. So it's not going to be $150 million. It's going to be more like $200 million in additional revenue that's going to flow into this entity. Right now, in our economy, our national economy, we have more fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus than we've ever had in my lifetime. And I think the future years are going to be very good for the U.S. economy, and an upscale place like Lone Tree and Douglas County is going to do especially well. With all the wealth creation in financial assets and real estate, these communities will be spending money, and they'll be spending money in places like Lone Tree. I think Lone Tree's economy, local economy, is going to blow the doors off their expectations and leave these assumptions far behind. It could be in excess of $200 million. Okay, now, so that's for 10 years, $150 million to $200 million in new
additional,
revenue.
Yeah.
In additional new revenue on top of what they already have with their existing 1.8% rate. But if you look at their current revenue expense projection, forget what I said about not believing it. Let's just look at what the expectations of the city is based on their projection. By year 10, 2031, the city expects that a cumulative deficit will be $60 million. Their expenses will exceed their revenue by $60 million, which is why they need this tax increase. But with this tax increase over 10 years, that same 10 years, they're going to raise $150 million to $200 million for a deficit that's only $60 million. So the money they're trying to raise with this tax increase is almost triple what even their own analysis and projection says they need. So this is gross overreach, way excessive, way too much money, way too high, absolutely should be rejected under all circumstances. Well, you look shocked, Kim.
You know what? I hadn't quite thought about that. And that's on top of the revenue that they are collecting.
So that's the key point, that this tax increase, this is new additional revenue. It's going to be $150. Their numbers is $150. I think it's going to be $200 million or above. But the deficit they're projecting over the same 10 years is only $60 million. So they've completely miscalculated and botched this tax increase estimate of what they need. 1% is way too much. Even if you believe their numbers, 1% is way too much. If this is approved, there is going to be so much money pouring into that city, they won't be able to spend it all. It'll be too much. And I'll be watching, and I'll be telling people. I'll find out about it. It'll be public.
Well, and that is very important. So the campaign is really in full swing right now. So what's your comments about that?
Well, the campaign, I think, is going very well. The feedback that I'm receiving is very positive. The citizens that I'm talking to are pretty appalled that the city would be asking for this much money under these circumstances. And the supporters of the tax increase is... a lot of people connected to the politicians and their circle of political influence. I have not seen grassroots support for this tax increase. Of course, we haven't done any polling, but I know the voters pretty well, and I've worked on tax increases, opposing tax increases, quite a few times, and. People are in no mood to pay more money for government, and I think this is going to be rejected.
Well, and that's why it's important to get the word out that people understand this, and that's why we thought it was important to talk about what these tax increases actually do to everyday hardworking people. And I've kind of seen a subtlety from the mayor and the city council and those that are supporting this that, well, we're an affluent community, and gosh, what's another penny on a purchase? A penny is a penny, and people, no matter what side of the aisle on, they really, or political aisle, people don't really like to pay taxes.
Well, on the receiving end of the tax increases, that's a common argument that you hear, but on the paying end, the taxpayer end, where they have to make all these payments and fund all this money and pay all these taxes, that doesn't go over very well, because people know, a penny here, a penny there, and it all adds up. On the household income in Douglas County is about $110,000 to $120,000, and that's a lot of spending, and that's a lot of money paid in taxes, retail sales taxes, property taxes, and the taxpayer sees it all. They have the macro view.
Right. It all comes out of their pocket.
It all comes out of their pocket and their paycheck. And it's a lot of money, and they feel it. And nobody's really representing them or speaking for them. All of the rhetoric is on, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money. And you know what, Kim? There's another angle to this that I want to get out in the open, and that is all the politicians watch these tax increase questions like a hawk. And if one community approves a tax increase, they all notice and they say, why did that get approved? What did they say? Why did that campaign work? How can we present a tax increase to get something approved for us? So there's a ratchet effect in the community. When one community approves a tax increase, all the others start looking at that as a potential strategy for a tax increase, and then they'll all go through a process of tax increase. That's why in Douglas County right now, in 2019, there was an extension of the Justice Center sales tax approved for 15 years, and now we have four tax increase questions on the Castle Rock ballot, and we have this one in Lone Tree, and one more in Littleton. And so, you know, it's a fight that has to be on multiple fronts for me. Well, this is my focus right now, Lone Tree, and I need to make the point that anybody in Douglas County that's going to increase taxes or increase tolls on E-470 is going to get a big argument and a campaign from me. I'm going to finance a campaign to defeat it, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, and the the website is NoLoneTreeTaxIncrease.com, NoLoneTreeTaxIncrease.com, all kinds of important information there. And be sure and talk with any of your friends who live in Lone Tree to make sure that they're well-informed on this. George Allen, thank you for the work you're doing. We have a minute left. How would you like to button this up?
Well, one thing that I really like to do in these campaigns and in my advocacy efforts is debate the politicians one-on-one, head-to-head, in public, up on a stage, before an audience. Let's debate this tax increase, where you have somebody who knows the numbers cold, knows your business, knows your models, knows your budgets, and let's have a toe-to-toe debate. And so I will debate the whole Lone Tree City Council.
I'd
love
that.
Five versus one. That way it'll be a fair fight.
George Allen. That's
and great. I think that's a great way. That's part of our American tradition on political issues. You know, we debate things out in the open, and let's argue about it. Let's have the argument. And then afterwards, take a vote and see what happens. And then I also want to say that the people in Lone Tree are neighbors and part of the community, and I respect them. And whatever happens, I expect to go forward with them as friends and colleagues and neighbors in our community.
It's the American way. George Allen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And again, he is the founder of Citizens for Tax Fairness. That website is NoLoneTreeTaxIncrease.com. Check that out. Ronald Reagan said this. He said, "Government is not a solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Government does not solve problems. It subsidizes them." Government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. If it stops moving, subsidize it. And the problem is not that people are taxed too little. The problem is that government spends too much. So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.